Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? This is Leah Keys with a special Hump Day edition. A lot to talk about tonight. A lot of breaking news in the MMA world over the last couple of days. So me and my man Keys, we wanted to get on and talk to you and, you know, give you our opinions on what we think is going on. It's a good day. It's a great day to be talking MMA. A lot of stuff that came out here in the past couple of days via social media, ESPN, UFC.com. So, waiting on my man Keys to log in. Like always, you know, I always want to start the show with a dedication. So today, I want to dedicate the show to Taylor Swift. You know, she came out earlier this week and encouraged her fans to get out and vote, you know, register to vote. She told her fans they could support the candidate she wanted to support, or, you know, they could go a different direction. And that was big of her. You know, she's been kind of quiet on her political stance, and, you know, I respect that from people. So shout out to Taylor Swift for telling her fans to get out and vote. What up, my man Keys? What's good?
What's going on with you?
Man, I was just finishing up the dedication. You know, how I opened the show. I dedicated the show to Taylor Swift tonight. You know, she came out and encouraged her fans to get out and vote and stuff like that. I think that's a big move, especially somebody who's definitely been quiet as far as the political scene. So shout out to Taylor Swift. This show is dedicated to you. What's going on, bro? How you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. You know, I just got to eat something for dinner, so I don't got to worry about turning out.
Yeah, that's always good. That's
no,
always
that
good.
Yeah, they got
so, man, let's just jump
that.
Yeah, man, so let's just
yeah,
jump into
just
it, man. A lot came out in the last few hours, man, you know, since last night and, you know, today. So what's the biggest, what's the one story you want to talk about?
So the big thing with me right now, at least, is we just got the main event for
Madison Square Garden, UFC 230 in New York, and this is supposed to be the UFC's biggest event of the year, and the last two both had, I think the last two both had three title fights. The first time they did it, I know they had, I'm pretty sure they had three title fights that time, and then they had three title fights last year, and then this year, I don't know what they have. I'm really confused about this card as a whole, but they did announce the main event, which a lot of people, including us, been waiting on for quite a bit. So that just came out, and it turns out that the main event is going to be DC stepping in to – some people are saying he stepped in to save the main event. I've even heard rumors that he's not even doing a training camp for this fight in order to be able to make it. I heard that they asked John Jones to main event this card, probably against Gustafson or DC. Y'all remember I predicted that if it would have been, you know, that the main event would feature one of those three guys, so that would make me correct, except for the Derek Lewis. You know, it's DC versus Derek Lewis for the heavyweight title. I definitely never said that I thought Derek Lewis would be in the main event. Not that I'm mad at it. No, that's one of my favorite guys in the UFC. So I'm definitely happy that he's getting the shine and getting that spotlight. But I just think it's a mismatch. I just feel like it's very this is a thrown together fight. And Derek Lewis just had a fight, you know, Saturday night. So you know, the man just fought 4 days ago, and now you're telling me that he's going to be main eventing Madison Square Garden in just a little over 3 weeks against debatably the pound for pound number one in the UFC. So I'm lost about that. I get how they wanted to save the main event, and that's probably the reason, but I just feel like you could have still came up with something better than this. I mean, I guess this is better than the last one that they tried to scrap up, you know, a week ago, everybody was mad about. This is better, but I mean, this is still, I don't know. It's still not very good to me. That's how I feel anyways.
I mean, I feel the same way. Derek Lewis, you know, man, big shout out for him, you know, taking the fight on, you know, basically short notice, you could say. You know, he just fought last weekend. He took a lot of punishment last weekend, too. So how is he medically cleared? Because normally when most fighters fight, they get a medical suspension, you know, kind of like sort of, you know, right after the fight. Normally you'll see on Twitter or, you know, something from the UFC saying this person has been suspended, have medical suspension for, you know, so-and-so amount of days or so-and-so amount of weeks, you know. But I think this fight, to me, I just don't respect the UFC for making this fight. First of all, you have to take Jerry Lewis, his health and his body into consideration. I don't care what a fighter says. He just fought last weekend, and you're going to put him back in there in 3 weeks? How is that healthy for the fighter? And my main thing is this, and I put it out on Twitter last night for all those that may follow me or you might want to follow me, is at LEVANSTIAN757. Last night when I heard about this fight, I was so hot. It's like, why would you schedule a fight with Derek Lewis when Stipe is right there? Stipe just lost the belt. He was the most dominant heavyweight champion in UFC history. But you going to go and schedule a guy that just fought last weekend when Stipe is right there and he's been campaigning for a shot? So what that tells me is the UFC, they think they got a fight where DC can win. So basically they're going to have DC fight Derek Lewis, and then they're going to have him wait to fight Brock Lesnar, whereas they could have had him fight Stipe, and then you still could have had him fight Brock. Who says that if he loses to Stipe that he still can't fight Brock Lesnar? So I just don't understand it, the disrespect to Stipe. But at the same time, DC is a company guy, and that's the way they wanted to go with it. To me, they wanted to get him an easy fight. Basically, we're going to be watching Khabib versus Conor in the heavyweight division, because that's what you're going to see. You're going to see DC taking Derek Lewis down, you know, wrestling him, you know, trying to doing a whole lot of grappling. And then I think he probably going to get a submission. So, you know, I guess that's good for DC being a company guy that they looked out for him. But at the same time, my gut feeling is telling me Derek Lewis will pull out at the probably a couple of days before the before the fight, and they're going to be scrambling again. When all the thing they had to do was basically make Nate and Dustin the main event, even though Dustin has pulled out because of injury. I think if he was the main event, he probably would have gutted it out to fight in Madison Square Garden as the main event rather than pull out the fight.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's probably more enticing for Poirier to fight, you know, maybe even for that 165-pound belt that him and Nate Diaz were asking for. And I think once, you know, both of them had asked for it, they were a lot more excited for the fight. And especially if they would have main evented, have a 5-round Diaz-Poirier brawl for a new belt, where a bunch of fighters have been asking to be in 165. But I just think the UFC might have felt like it wasn't the best business move, because if they make 165 division, you know, they're going to lose at least 3 or 4 of their top 10 ranked guys from 155 to the 165 division. So you're going to lose out on a lot of your top talent from a division that's already really hot right now. that I think people are, you know, it's caught fire, that division. I think a lot of, it's been putting on a lot of exciting fights lately, and I think the UFC probably wants to keep a lot of those guys where they're at right now because things have been rolling smoothly anyways. I mean, you haven't seen, at least I haven't seen Kevin Lee miss weight. Nate, I don't think I've seen Nate miss weight, anything like that. So it's not like they necessarily need to, they haven't shown signs that they need to move up, you know, like Yoel Romero has, where they say he should move up to middleweight. But yeah, as for the Stipe thing, I think it's stupid because Stipe actually responded right after the news broke. I mean, he's been relatively quiet. I haven't been on Twitter, so I don't know. But just like looking back a little bit at his account the other day, I just scrolled down a little bit and I don't see, you know, at building up to the, all this time when they had, you know, no main event, I didn't hear much from Stipe, no interviews or nothing, and talking about, you know, campaigning for the fight. But then, you know, all of a sudden once the main event broke that DC was going to defend his Stipe's heavyweight strap against Derek Lewis, all of a sudden he went on fire on video saying, you know, that he talking about, you know, that he's the heavyweight GOAT, which I agree with. I think he is the greatest of all time at heavyweight. And that was the fight to make. He actually kind of went off on DC on Twitter when that announcement broke, saying that, you know, accusing DC of having kind of ducked him in a way. He kind of told DC, you ducked me. I think Stipe might have been in the mix. Stipe said that he offered the UFC, you know, he offered to fight in the fight DC in the main event for the heavyweight title when they, you know, before they got Derek Lewis in there. And I guess Stipe wasn't even going to have a training camp for this fight. That's what he said. He said, I offered to fight you with no training camp. That's, and it didn't, you know, one way or another, it didn't pan out. So, I mean, that's why Stipe is one of my favorite guys. Look, he's such a savage, you know. We were saying the other day about being objective on this show. I'm sorry. I got to take a side here. Stipe is one of my favorite guys. He's a straight savage beast, and that's why he should be in the main event. I can't get off statistical with you besides saying that he defended that heavyweight title 3 times, and that's the most any heavyweight champion has ever defended the belt. So he's a savage beast, and I think that rematch should have been the main event. They're doing a disservice, Derek Lewis, by throwing him in there when he just got off a good win, and now they're doing him a disservice by throwing him in, you know, to the Wolves on 3 weeks' notice to fight arguably the pound-for-pound number one in the UFC, on such a big stage too. I just think that's, I mean, I'm going to be rooting for Derek Lewis anyways, but I feel like there's a 99% chance that this fight will look almost exactly like DC versus Volkan Oezdemir earlier this year, and exactly like DC versus Anthony Johnson too that we saw last year. I think there's a 99% chance it pans out the same way as both of those fights, and it almost looks identical to both of those fights. So, yeah, that's how I feel about that. UFC, you kill me.
Yeah, I want to go back to your 165 thing. I just don't think it's feasible because you got 155 and then you go up to 170. So you're going to go from 155 to 165 then to 170? I mean, I just don't understand the logic behind the 165 thing. It's just that it's only 5 more pounds. So I guess a guy could move up to 170 instead of fighting at 155. That's a choice they make. Because I know me and you have been advocates of this, and I know some people probably disagree with our thought. Guys should fight closer to their walk-around weight than trying to go down, trying to lose 40 to 50 pounds just to get in a fight. I think you should fight in a weight division that's closer to your walk-around weight. I understand what Nate trying to do with the 165 thing. You know, create a new division, you know, bring a little bit more excitement to the UFC. But it's only 5 additional pounds. So basically what you're telling me is, are we going to get rid of, are we going to make Tyron Woodley come down to 165, and then that'll be instead of welterweights, instead of welterweights being 170, that'd be 165? Is that what we're doing here?
Yo, my man Lee is on the investigation for this. My man Lee is going to break y'all down. He's going to sit down. We're going to, we've been itching for that meeting with the UFC creative team. And we need a business meeting here. And Lee's going to break down y'all. He's going to debunk all your theories. My man Lee's going to debunk all your theories for why there should be any new weight divisions. And he's going to lay out a format for how to proceed and with what divisions to have for the whole roster. And we'll be there. So accept that call.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of 165. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But something else came out. Bad news came out last night. Dustin Poirier pulled out of his fight against Nate Diaz. The UFC is scrambling to find somebody to fight Nate. Me and my man Keys, we came up with a formidable opponent. Me and Keys both agreed that it should be Justin Gaethje. You know, we think that would be one hell of a scrap also, with Gaethje being a guy that most of his fights are very much action-packed. He doesn't back down. You know, he keeps coming forward. And I think but news came out today that Nate said that he might not fight in MSG, and that he'll wait on the Khabib fight. I don't know how realistic it is he'll get the Khabib fight, but it has been a fight that's been talked about for years because they don't really like each other personally. And actually, to me, it's a good stylistic matchup for Nate and Khabib. I think Tony Ferguson deserves a shot before Nate. Or Nate can fight Tony Ferguson as a number one, as a title eliminator. But I don't think Ferguson really needs that because he was the champ for, 4 months? And he got hurt during a promotional event for the UFC, and you strip him. And then you have Khabib fight the number 12 guy to get him the belt. That has never sat well with me or Keys. So I think the next fight for Khabib should be against Tony Ferguson. And if Nate really wants to fight, he might just have to sit out a pay-per-view or two, wait on Dustin to heal up, and maybe jump on the UFC 232 card in Vegas.
I think that would be sick because that card has I'm pretty sure they have Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes, champion versus champion. That might be the main event. And they got
John Jones versus Gustafson up there.
Yeah, because now you have John Jones versus Gustafson for, I think that's going to be like for what will then be the vacant 205 belt.
Yep.
Okay, so then if you add Poirier and Nate, man, that would just be a crazy, that main card is just too stacked right there. I mean, I don't even really care about Cyborg's fights, but when you put her in there with two fights like that, I'd be a lot more interested in that whole night of fights as a whole, and it would make me more interested to see Cyborg because I know I'm getting more of a product than just that. I'm not waiting for an okay main card just to see Cyborg fight in the main event. Cyborg is a good talent, but there's not much out there for her. She beats everybody, so it's kind of we've seen this a million times, she's the best, okay. But besides that is also that fight will be better for her because she's fighting a much more game opponent in Amanda Nunes. And I'm not even interested in Amanda Nunes' fights either. I really don't even care about it. And it's not because it's not having to do with they're women. It's not really anything to do with that. It's just that their fights just don't really interest me.
Like I watched, you know, their fights, and I just never really became too big of a fan of either one of them. I mean, I think they've accomplished big things, and I think that's worth noting, but I just never really their fighting styles never really sparked my interest too much to where I became fans of them. So that's really all that is. And also I heard is that they were supposed to make the 125 fight with the girl that, you know, not many of us seem to know who it was, you know, last week when they said that would be the main event for UFC 230. They said it was going to be Valentina Shevchenko fighting, I think if I pronounce it, Sahara Eubanks. She was in the Ultimate Fighter tournament for the, you know, what was the new 125-pound belt. And from what I know, she was supposed to be in the finals against Nico Montano, but then she fell out of the main event because she got hospitalized or something happened, cutting weight. And then the girl, Mata Ferry, she came in to replace her against Montano, and then Montano beat her and got the belt. So basically, right now, Eubanks could have potentially already been the 125 champ if she hadn't fell out of her original title fight in the Ultimate Fighter finale. But Montano won the belt. I mean, she could have easily beaten her. But the big point of what I'm getting to here is that they canceled the Valentina and Eubanks fight for 230, and they went back to their plan A for UFC 231, which was to be Valentina to have a Joanna champion, you know, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, come up to 125 to challenge Valentina for the vacant 125-pound belt, which is a crazy – that fight right there interests me, that fight. I mean, Joanna is someone that I enjoy watching all her fights. Her style, I've been attracted to her fights. Plus, I mean, her personality and her drive and her hunger towards, you know, wanting to be one of the greats in the sport, that's something that always – you know, can get me interested in a fighter. And, you know, sometimes when these guys and girls are too humble, it's not too interesting to me, because if you're in a competitive sport, I don't really see a reason why you're not getting more hype than that. Like, you should be congratulating yourself and then thinking about the next step, because that's what this is. And I just don't get why guys are so quiet. And when you have that kind of approach to the game, it's not as interesting for me presently. And but Joanna does, and Joanna is going to fight Valentina at UFC 31 on the same card as our boy Max Holloway. Hopefully he makes it to the fight, because he's defending the featherweight strap against Brian Ortega. And I really hope they both make it to the fight, because now we've been waiting for that one for a long time, you know, since earlier this year anyways. And that one's going to be a good scrap. So having those back-to-back, those two title fights are both going to be really good fights, I think. And I think the fight with Joanna, win or lose, will make me a fan of Valentina Shevchenko. She never really fell onto my radar with, you know, the only few performances I've seen from her. I never really got on my radar, but I think that fight will land her on my radar, win or lose, because I think it'll be a really competitive fight. Probably go the distance, I would think.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that they made the fight with Valentina versus Joanna, because I just don't see how you can sell Eubanks to a casual UFC fan when I don't even know who she is. You're going to have her fight for a belt, and we don't even know who she is. We have to go to YouTube to look up, you know, videos of her fights or, you know, stuff like that just to figure out who she is. So you really can't sell that to the fans. And there was no rush. I don't even understand why they was rushing trying to find a main event for Madison Square Garden when your main event was sitting right in your face. Five rounds of Nate Diaz versus Dustin Poirier. That's all you had to do. You didn't need a title fight, because the undercard, you could have, because the fights that are already on the card are already good. So you didn't need a title fight because the card was so stacked. So I'm kind of glad they moved Valentina versus Joanna to 231. You know, to pair with Max and T City. Come on, Max, man, we need you back. We need this fight, bro. I don't think you can miss another fight, or the UFC might strip you, man. So, hope you listen to the show. We need you back, bro. But another fight came out today, and me and you were talking about this guy last night. And I read on Twitter that Kevin Lee is fighting Ayakinta at UFC. Was that 232? Or was it 231? I think it's 232. So we got Kevin Lee versus Ayakinta, man. How you feel about that scrap?
I didn't hear about that one. I mean, somebody, I was in a group chat, someone had texted me and said that fight was on, but I haven't seen anything saying that it was on.
UFC,
I mean,
on
not
Fox.
That it was not. Yeah, it's probably
it's
official.
It's UFC,
I mean,
on Fox
Kevin
Milwaukee.
Lee. Oh, okay, it's a fight night card.
Yeah.
Kevin Lee, that's an interesting fight for the UFC because Kevin Lee wants to avenge his loss because he actually already lost to Ayakinta when they fought the first time. So that's a rematch for Kevin Lee, and you know he's a game opponent. Ayakinta, you know, he looked actually really good against Khabib. You know what's interesting about it is that. And this might be – I might be the first one to have come out and said this. This is about to be – I don't know if this is going to be a hot take or not, but this – I really believe this. I think Ayakinta did notably better versus Khabib than Conor McGregor did. You know, nobody said that yet, and I think it needs to be stated. And Ayakinta needs to get his respect because his game plan worked so well. I don't even understand how he did that. Like, he was stopping a lot of takedowns. He was jumping out of – like, he was almost just leaping out of the takedown some of the times. Like, Khabib would have it, like, halfway there, and he would just get his legs out at the last second and kind of, you know, scramble to getting some distance away from Khabib in the octagon. And then, you know, Khabib would kind of be forced into, you know, not being able to land the takedown. So he's kind of forced into standing up and striking with Ayakinta, which is what – that was clearly his game plan because, I mean, it looked like it was working. I don't want to hear an excuse from people saying that Khabib let him do it. That's not the case. He was trying to take him down again and again, and he couldn't hold him down. So Ayakinta did better than McGregor versus Khabib, and that's really crazy because I'm pretty sure Ayakinta only had, like, a couple days. I think it was, like, one 24-hour notice that he was even fighting Khabib. So – he had a training camp, but he was training for Paul Felder. I'm pretty sure he was fighting Paul Felder. That's who he had a training camp for. So it's a big difference when you go from having a training camp against, Paul Felder, who mainly wants to stand there and bang with you. He wants to. He's a striker mainly. So then, you know, having a training camp for a striker, then, you know, at the last minute they tell you change of plan. Now you have to fight a guy who you didn't get the train for, who is going to be, who's a expert wrestler, and he's going to want to be taking you to the mat, you know, every 5 seconds. And you were not prepared for this, but still Ayakinta looked like that in the fight. He looked like that. He had a training camp for it, I would think. And he didn't, he probably got like one night's preparation for it. You know, that night probably had intensive training for it, but God bless you. And
thank you.
That really made me – I mean, I was already a fan of Ayakinta. He was already – he'd been on my radar since, his last couple fights. And plus, you know, I like his personality too. I'm a guy who I want you to – I want to see some – you know, I want to see some things with your game and your skills. But also I enjoy when a guy will get on the mic after and, you know, act like he has a presence there and not just – you know, be a silent figure and just walk his ass out of there. You know, I want you to give us something. You know, let us know that you're a human being. Say something. So, Ayakinta has been good, man. Kevin Lee is one of my guys, too. So that's going to be a good scrap. Kevin Lee hasn't fought in – when's the last time? Oh, okay. I was thinking the last fight was the Ferguson fight. Kevin Lee actually fought Edson Barboza It was kind of like not that long before I kicked the fuck Khabib. It was like right in that vicinity, probably like a month before
after.
Or something like that. It was
I
after.
I thought it was afterwards. Yeah.
On that, yeah. Oh, okay, so I was thinking it was a month before, and it was probably more like a month after, because remember they had like back-to-back lightweight cards. You know, after that, they had like a whole bunch, because they had like a Poirier fought somebody. I think Poirier fought Gaethje like within the next 3 weeks after the UFC 223, and then Barbosa fought Kevin Lee. Those were like back-to-back-to-back, I remember, because it was all lightweight, man. It was all lightweight main events for like a straight month, and it was epic. So it was an epic string of fights. And Kevin Lee, he looked really good in the Barbosa fight. I mean, that was an excellent performance from Kevin Lee. That was – he just looks like he keeps getting better every fight. Like, he looked – you know, his last three, he looked, you know, really good in the – even though it wasn't – and he was kind of, from what I remember, it wasn't that long of a fight when he fought Michael Chiesa. But, like, he was looking pretty good there. He got a submission victory on Michael Chiesa. Then I thought he looked even better versus a much better opponent in Tony Ferguson. Now, I was rooting for him there. He came up short, but he did really good. And then after that, he looked even better against Edson Barboza. He actually got rocked with a – it was like a spinning back kick or something that Barboza hit him with a really, you know – probably took him by surprise. He got rocked pretty bad. You know, he could have got finished by Barboza in that moment because the kick really clipped him good. Kevin Lee, you know, it was scary to watch. You know, and he started wobbling, and they called it the chicken dance. You know, it looked like he was doing the chicken dance in there. So he was doing the stanky leg in there, and he was wobbling from side to side. And then in the moment, he like caught. He caught himself and managed to land a takedown on Barboza while he was rocked. And from that point, I forget what happened exactly after, but I think he ended up – he went on into one of the – if it was the next round or – it was he survived that kick, took down Barboza, and then managed to finish the fight after the fact. So that was a very impressive Kevin Lee. His last three, he just got better each fight. And then Kenta looked really good versus Khabib, and that's going to be a banger. I don't even know. I mean, I want to say Kevin Lee probably beat Ty Kenta this time because I think he's progressed farther in his career, and he also has more weapons than Ty Kenta, at least from what I've seen from the two of them in their last couple of fights. I think Kevin Lee has more weapons, more ways to win, and he might even be a little bit more hungry right now because Ty Kenta, you know, he was supposed to fight Gaethje. And then that was going to be a good fight. And then he pulled out of the Gaethje fight for some reason. And I don't know. I mean, the Gaethje fight was like 4 months after the Khabib fight. I mean, I don't know what happened, but I just feel like Kevin Lee wants to move up a bit more right now. He's probably a bit more hungry. He's got more weapons. And I think he's probably the more well-rounded mixed martial artist than Kenta.
Yeah, if I had to pick today, I would probably pick Kevin Lee to beat him because I think just because of the level of competition he's fought here, his last couple fights, you know, fighting Ferguson, fighting Barboza, you know, not saying that Al Kenta has fought any scrubs, but, you know, his last fight was against Khabib. So, but if I had to pick the fight today, I would probably go with Kevin Lee just for the same reason you said, because of the ill set. I think he's hungry. Plus, he has a big mouth, so when you got a big mouth, you have to back it up. So that's another reason why. But I like Kevin Lee, man. I like Kevin Lee as far as, like, selling the fight. You know, once again, when you're selling the fight, you have to have quote-unquote good guy, quote-unquote bad guy. And Kevin Lee seems to wear the bad guy hat pretty good when you're building up to the fight. So I kind of I like that about him. I think Ian Kenta is a quality fighter, but he probably needs to change his game up a little bit because all his fights, when you watch him fight, is all the same. He's a good striker. He can do some things off his back. He can submit you, but all his fights just seem boring to me. It's like his fights are like what's the guy name? I can't even think of the final name right now. Maybe it is him, I can't, but you know, man, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Kevin Lee get back in there. I like the matchup. And it should be a good fight.
Yeah, so moving on from that, we, you know, we brought it up, but we didn't really, I feel like being the fan that you are of him, I don't think that it's right for us to just brush over it like we did. We just mentioned it and didn't even actually break down the fight. So I'm going to ask you about it and you can kick it off first. So your boy John Jones, man, he's fighting Gustafson for the 205 belt in, you know, in a couple months. How do you feel about that fight and him coming back, you know, after, you know, a little over a year, almost a year and a half layoff versus Gustafson, who hasn't been ineligible to fight, but he also hasn't fought in a long time. I think the last time Gustafson fought was against Glover Teixeira, and I'm pretty sure that wasn't even this year. I think that was 2017. So really, he's kind of had a long layoff too. He might even be a year out of the octagon at this point too. They both haven't fought in a while, so how do you feel about that fight?
I think Gustafson's best shot of winning is he's going to have to get John out of there in the first round. While John is still trying to get his legs under him, you know, find his rhythm and stuff like that, Alex's best shot would be to get him out of there in the first round. Don't let him start to get comfortable, you know, find his rhythm, stuff like that. So once he finds his rhythm, and he get his legs under him, he's going to become dangerous. And we all know that a dangerous John Jones, a smooth John Jones, is basically unbeatable. He done beat everybody that was in his division when he was a champ. He cleaned it up. And he said he's going to clean it up twice. So, you know, I like Alexander Gustafson. I wish DC would have been a more respectable champion than gave Gustafson another shot, but we all know why, because DC can pick and choose who he wants to fight when he want to fight, so it is what it is. But this is the fight I think we as fans, we want to see. And, you know, the greatest of all time in my book is John Jones. I know there's a couple things in his career that some people would debate, you know, that would say this, this, and this. But it's only his fights against DC that you can basically say that, you know, maybe he was doing this or maybe he was doing that. The first fight against DC, he was coming off a cocaine bender, and he beat him. And then, you know, the second fight, they said, you know, he was on steroids. But before then, he was probably the most exciting fighter in the UFC, and the UFC still wouldn't give him the proper respect as champion that he deserved, just like they're not giving the proper respect to Tyron Woodley that he deserved. They didn't give DJ the proper respect he deserved when he was champion. And look at what they're doing to Stipe, and not giving him the proper respect. So I like this fight. I'm looking forward to it. And, Keys, don't be surprised if your boy fly out to Vegas and go out there to the fight.
If you go out to Vegas?
Yep, and go see 232.
Nah, I won't, and I encourage you to do
don't
that.
Don't be surprised.
If that's already, you know, in your mind now, then it's likely that you'll do it. So that's good. Go see your boy fight. But don't buy no bogus seats. Buy some good seats, man. If you're going to go to UFC, you got to do it right, especially if you're going to be seeing John Jones. You never know when you might have the opportunity to come again and you might be in the right position to do it. So get some bomb seats. Get, like, some low seats or possibly even closer so you can really see that
fight.
I
seen him fight when he came out here. I've seen him fight before. I've seen him fight Rampage.
No, I get it.
I was lying. Yeah,
but this is better though. Him and Gustafson.
Yeah. Oh yeah. oh yeah, this gonna be a good fight. And if I do go, I will get good seats. I can't be in nobody nosebleeds. I can't do that. Even when I go to basketball games, I gotta at least be able to hear the shoes squeak on the floor. You know, hear them call out plays. You know, I at least gotta feel like I'm part of the game.
Yeah, you want to be engulfed in everything that's happening.
Yeah.
That one though, to me, it's hard. Like I can't like predict against John Jones ever. Like I can't, because the last time I did that, I was so disappointed, and I just walked out of there, and I was like, man, that was trash. Like, it just felt so terrible. Everybody I was with was rooting for Jones, and I was the only one that was like, man, Cormier is going to beat him this time. He gets knocked out in such a terrible way. The way that it was just so disappointing. You know, how he tried to survive, but he couldn't even, like, he couldn't even catch his footing, and he was kind of like leaping across the octagon. So, and then to still get finished in the corner is just, that was terrible. I don't think the UFC likes to remember that. But, I'll probably say, you know, no one can beat John Jones. So, yeah, I expect him, I 100% expect him to beat Gustafson. It'll probably be a war. I could see that going the full distance. I don't think Gustafson can knock out John Jones. I don't think that's a real thing. But if it did happen, you know, anything can happen in the UFC. So if it did happen, I guess I wouldn't be surprised, because it only takes one shot. And if Gustafson really, you know, wanted to, you know, if he really wanted it bad enough, he'd try to get him out of there early, like Lee said, and not let John get into his rhythm, because, you know, that first round will be his first round in a while. And but once he gets into, you know, the third round, if he gets into, you know, first two rounds will be a little bit new, but then once he get into like the third, fourth round, like, he's gonna be dominating that fight. So you gotta get him out of the early, Gus, if you think you have a chance. But I don't think that happens. I think it's a 99% chance. I think it'll go the full distance. Or maybe Jones can finish him in between rounds 3 and 5. I would think for this fight, if he would finish him, it'd be in the championship rounds, either 4 or 5, because I just feel like Gustin's not going to go out easy either. I think he's going to stay in there a while, if anything. I don't think – I think he'll play it safe, too. He'll try to play it smart. I mean, he's been waiting for this rematch and the Cormier rematch. He's wanted both of these rematches, like, for, you know, his whole career since the first fight of both. So I think he's been waiting for this for a long time, and he's not going to let himself go out that easy. So if John were to finish him, he's either going to be in the 4th or 5th round. But my plan A would – my first prediction would be John Jones wins probably by, I want to say, either a majority decision or a unanimous decision after 5 rounds of craziness between the two of them. So that would be my prediction for that. I hope to see John win in good fashion too for my boy Lee, you know, especially – I mean – regardless, if he goes to the fight, especially if he goes to the fight, but either way, I'd want to see him win in big fashion for my man Lee. That would be a big part of that too.
And plus, I think with John coming back, I think it re-energizes the 205 division, because he said he's going to stay at 205 for a while. He said he has no interest in moving up to heavyweight as of right now. So I think it re-energized the 205 division, because DC basically had division on and a suffocating headlock for like the last 2.5 years, basically, because he hasn't really fought anybody. He fought Jones, lost. Then he came back and he fought, was it Rumble again? Was it Rumble Johnson again?
Yeah.
To get the belt back. Yeah. To get the belt back, and then he
fought
Uzdemir.
And lost. He fought Anderson Silva, but he wasn't a title fight.
Yeah, so it's like, man, you know, let's get the 205 division back up and popping, and you know, and see what happens. You know, you got a bunch of young guns out there. What we got? We got Uzdemir. We got Anthony Smith. We got Gustafson, of course. We got Glover still out there. You know, there's some guys out there. So
you got what's the short guy? Latifi. Latifi's been looking pretty good.
Latifi, yep. But see, the thing about Latifi, if he was to ever fight Jones, his arms, man, he doesn't have that reach. And John and Gustafson would kill him just on reach alone. But you know, the 205 division got some guys in there that we want to see. That you know, new blood. They probably one of the few divisions that have a bunch of new blood in it. You know, unlike like 155, you know, 170, you know. So, but yeah, I'm very excited about John coming back. I think he's coming back and he's going to have a tough fight. So we'll see what he got.
Yeah.
Okay, Keys, quick question. So
yeah,
if Gustafson beats Jones, does this require a trilogy? Because I know you're against trilogy fights.
Yeah, I don't know, because I wouldn't say – I don't think right away, because, I mean, the first fight was so long ago, and then this fight is now – I feel like Jones should just – I don't know. I'd probably say Jones take a couple fights. Like, if he were to lose, I feel like he would – I'd rather see him go fight a couple more fights and then get back to the title after, because I'd rather see him go – rack up, if he were to lose, go rack up a couple wins after that and get that confidence back in him and, you know, get fresh and then go back, you know, maybe take like two, if you lose to Gustafson, maybe take like two fights and then fight Gustafson again after that, or whoever's the champion at that point, you know, fight that person after two fights, if he were to lose, which I don't think he will. But it is a possibility.
Okay. Anything can happen in the octagon.
That is true. That's very true. Now, let me ask you this. So, I was watching, you know, Joe Rogan was talking about this, and I watched Stephen A. Smith talk about this, and Max Kellerman was on there, of course, talking about this. Now, I've seen a lot of people. Brendan Schaub was talking about this. Shout out to Brendan Schaub, by the way. I really like your show. That Below the Belt is I really like that show. And plus, I like hearing him. That's a big thing, too. Brendan Schaub, you got to get Chael Sonnen on that show. That's the only thing you're missing. You just need Chael. If you have you and Chael, you'll be cooking. But, I mean, Chael's already involved with Ariel Helwani's show, so you know, maybe not. But maybe just get Chael on as a guest. Get him on for, like, one or two episodes and just you guys chop it up, because Chael is the greatest. And you put you and Chael, and that's nobody can stop you. So, but anyways, yeah, so I heard a lot of them guys talk about this thing, and they're all talking about, and I want to ask you about, the possibility of Khabib versus McGregor 2. Now, a lot of people are analyzing the fight and pointing out different things, and the more of that I see, the more I'm understanding, you know, the possibility of it, but not just the possibility, the different sides, I guess, that people are showing. I mean, one side, you know, which is mostly like Khabib's fans and people that are, you know, on his team or that he, you know, wrestles with and things like that. You know, those are all the people that are just saying that, you know, Khabib dominated him the whole fight and there's no reason to have a rematch. And then there's the other side of people who are looking at both sides and saying, well, Khabib easily won, you know, the first round, the second round, and the fourth round. I mean, he had the finish in the fourth round, so he doesn't really need that. It goes without saying he won the fourth round. But this is one thing that I thought, is that in round three, I thought McGregor was
was landing, and he was stopping some takedowns in the third round, and Khabib was not bettering him on the feet. You know, that was the one successful round that McGregor had. And I would also like to, you know, I hope at some point I have the opportunity to be able to watch the full fight back so I can just confirm my memory of what I saw, because I haven't seen the fight in 4 days. I only just saw, with, you know, of course, the live broadcast. But I do, you know, vaguely remember McGregor doing really well in round three before the stoppage. I mean, round four, you know, he, you know, of course, got taken down, and that led into the choke. But round three, that was the one success that McGregor had. And I guess his coach, John Kavanaugh, said on, I forget what show he was on, I think maybe he was on with Joe Rogan, and I didn't hear him say it because I didn't get to this part in the interview, but people are saying that he told Joe Rogan about what their game plan was for Khabib. And I guess, I don't know if people are assuming this was the game plan or if this literally was the game plan, but I guess it was to let Khabib wear himself out in the first couple rounds and then for Conor to pick him apart in the later rounds. And
what kind of
Conor's done
that.
Yeah, Conor's done that. It sounds crazy. I mean, Conor did that pretty much with Chad Mendes, but that's, I guess, people would say a different level of wrestler. And Khabib also has a really good cardio. His gas tank, he can go, you know, five rounds.
Exactly.
No
that's
problem,
what I was about to
seems.
Say.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a bad game
yeah.
plan.
Yeah, and either way, though, I think that regardless of the game plan, I don't think that – I mean, I'm not really sure if Conor would have won the fight. I mean, of course I'd root for him because I'm a fan of him first before Khabib, but of course I'm going to root for him. Same way I'm always going to root for Woodley, even though I truly think that Woodley – there's no one out there that can beat him right now. But that's another show. That's another show. Don't get me going. So – but I root for both of them, regardless of who they're fighting. And but I do think that Conor wasn't going to beat Khabib this time because Khabib's just been way too active leading up to this. And he's been having good performances. Conor hasn't fought in the UFC or in MMA, period, in just under 2 years, you know, by the time this fight happened. So I just think that, you know, like what Lee said about Ring Rust in our last episode, is that McGregor, he just wasn't fresh enough. You know, he didn't have, you know, he didn't look good. I mean, and I don't think it was because of Khabib's skill level. I don't think, like, people are making it sound like that Khabib just made him look like shit. Yes, I think when he was on the ground, Khabib made him look like shit. But what Conor did when he was on his feet is his own fault. That doesn't have anything really to do with how good Khabib was. He didn't really do anything. I mean, Khabib was, like we said in the previous show, he was, you know, kind of ducking low, like he was going for the takedown, and then he swung for the head. So he was tricking Conor with some of the strikes. But besides that, the hand movements that Conor was doing, his footwork, you know, these kind of elements of his game, you know, relating to his striking, that, you know, remarkable things that he does. I mean, his footwork is one of those things. And the way he moves his hands, or like just all the things, his timing, all those things are things that he – are what have made him great over the years, and are what people love him for, you know, in terms of his skill. And it just seemed like a lot of those elements were not there. I mean, one thing people pointed out was that McGregor just kept walking, like he kept coming forward at Khabib. He wasn't, you know, when he fights other guys, it almost looks like he's bouncing around. But that's how I see it. When he fought Eddie Alvarez, when he fought Aldo, it looks like he's, like, leaping around the octagon. That's the way he's when you watch the Aldo footage, you know, the whole 13 seconds of it, you see Conor, you know, he's almost like doing that small leap with his feet. He's almost like he's bouncing back and forth, like, very slightly. You know, he's kind of, like, jumping, you know, forth and back. And that's part of what he does. And he just seems so flat-footed in this fight. He just wasn't. His energy just didn't seem there. I don't know if it's because of the boxing fight or what was in his mind, but it just didn't seem like the same McGregor. And Khabib did do great, but I don't think that it's Khabib's – it's not about that. It's also a lot of what Conor didn't do that lost him the fight. And that's the reason why, you know, having looked at all those angles, that's the reason why I think a rematch would be intriguing. You know, I do think that, yeah, he lost the fight fair and square. I would understand if Khabib would just say, no, no rematch. It is what it is. I already beat him. I would understand, and that would be okay. But I do think that there, you know, Conor, I would like to see him go take a couple other fights, chopping up, you know, other areas of his game, also re-sharpen areas of his game that were there, you know, 2 years ago. You know, get back in and get your footwork back, you know, get your all your movements back, get your striking back. A lot of the things, the skills that he, you know, might not have been, you know, because in boxing, you can't, I don't know what the rules are, but you can't really, boxers are kind of flat-footed. You don't really see a lot of boxers moving. I mean, maybe I don't know enough about boxing. Basically, you know, I don't think it was the same Conor, and I think I would like to see him take a couple fights, and then if Khabib was willing, they could rematch, you know, down the line when Conor sharpens up the skills, and I feel like he's not fighting a guy who just came off a two-year layoff and is extremely rusty, because that's what he looked like in there. Lee, how do you feel about it?
Man, I just think stylistically anybody that wrestles is a bad matchup for Conor, man. He hasn't shown us that he can fight from his back. He hasn't shown us that he can consistently get up off the mat. So anybody that wrestles him, they're going to dominate him because he hasn't – I don't know whether or not he has worked on that part of his game, but he should have definitely been focusing on his wrestling for Khabib, because we all know Khabib is not going to stand and bang with you. He's just not going to do it. That's not his style, never has been. So, you know, and then those – I think it was round three when he decided to trade with Conor for, what, 45 seconds? I mean, come on, man. So anybody that wrestles is going to be definitely going to be a bad matchup for him. So I think Conor now can be the new GSP of the UFC. And what I mean by that is he can just do super fights now. You know, you can have him, you know, maybe go up and fight Tyron Woodley. You can have him maybe fight GSP. I read somewhere on ESPN where he said he wouldn't mind fighting Anderson Silva. So, you know, man, it's you know, it's fights out there for Conor, big money fights out there for him. He doesn't have to be a champion to be a draw. But I think for him, you have to put him in fights that are more stylistically better matchups for him. You can't have him fight Khabib, you know, a Mickey Gall or something like that with guys, what they want to do is take you down, wrestle you, and submit you. That's just not Conor's style. So I still think he can be a draw. I still think the UFC can utilize him. But the thing is does Conor want to work? Does he really want to be in the UFC? You know, he'd have made $100 million, man. And then this liquor, he probably going to make some money off that. And then the U.S., then, you know, he got a little promotion deal with the UFC. So it's going to be tough to sell him on being a fighter when he can make so much money doing other things. So we'll see what happens.
So basically you're saying no rematch in the future.
No, I'm not feeling the rematch.
And you want to just see him do super fights.
I think that's a way for him to go. I mean, because he's such a draw. USC could really, they could use that. They could use that to their advantage. You know, hire him as a super fight guy. You know, I mean, I like the idea of that. I'd rather see him in better stylistic matchups than seeing him, you know, going against guys that he don't match up well against. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing him in Gaethje. I wouldn't mind seeing him in Kevin Lee. I wouldn't mind seeing the third fight between him and Nate. So, yeah, I'm all about fights that – go ahead.
When I said Gaethje the other night, you didn't like it, and you said, oh, you're just saying fights that you know he can win. But now you want to see it.
Yeah, but the only reason why I said that is because, like I said, is I want him to work on his game. But at the same time, is if you make him a super fight guy, you got to put him in fights that are more stylistic for him. You can't have him fight, well, that's going to take him down, because me and you as fans, do we really want to see that? No, we don't.
So,
all right, so you're saying that McGregor versus Tyron Woodley is a good stylistic matchup for Conor. You think that Conor versus GSP is a good stylistic matchup? I don't think either one of those are a good stylistic matchup, but I want to hear what you have.
I think GSP will destroy him. I think GSP will destroy him because GSP don't wrestle him. I think Woodley, people don't give him enough credit for his stand-up, but he can wrestle too. And, you know, and Tyron did say he would fight, that he would be willing to fight Conor McGregor. He did say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see that, but I particularly wouldn't want to see him fight Tyron Woodley because I don't think that. I mean, I think he has a chance of beating anybody. He has a chance of beating anybody. Anybody has a chance of beating anybody, really, but especially McGregor, he's a special fighter. He has a chance of beating anybody, let's just face it. But, and that's why I'd even give him a chance if he rematched Khabib, you know, let's just say. But I don't know if, I mean, if he were to fight Woodley, I would definitely be picking Woodley to win that. I don't think that he needs to be dealing with, you know, Woodley's punches, you know, Woodley's power and just his overall. Woodley is a very well-rounded fighter. You know, he's a total package. I don't think Conor, I don't want to see him go through that, to be honest. Woodley should be the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the UFC right now. I think he has much more claim to that than Daniel Cormier does. And that's, there's not even a debate about that. Cormier, the only reason that you could argue that they probably argue him is because he won two belts. But how long did he hold the 205 belt without defending it? I'm pretty sure it was like a year and a half without him even making his first title defense. From the time that he fought Alexander Gustafsson for the vacant 205 belt, and then he won the belt that time, and then up until the next time he defended the belt after that, was the Rumble fight, which was in 2017. Go and do the math and find out how long that was. I'm pretty sure it was around a year and a half. So you can't tell me shit about saying that Cormier deserves number one pound for pound more than Tyron Woodley. There is no debate for that at all. The only thing you could say is that he had two belts at one time. That's the only thing you could say. But his 205 belt is invalidated, because it took him a year and a half to defend the belt. He beat Rumble, and then right after that, he got KO'd unconscious in the second round by John Jones, and then they gave him the belt back. So really, he was barely even the 205 champion. They handed him the belt back. Your mic's breaking up. Like, we can't really hear you.
All right, there we go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, I had to get in my car. But, yeah, me and you had talked about this. It's kind of funny. Because how long we done had this show?
Since last October.
We done had this show on, and he hasn't defended it since we had this show. I know that much.
Well, he only defended it. He defended it against Vulcan in January. That's the one time he defended it. Between the time we had the show and, you know, it's been a year we've had the show. In the year we've had the show, he's defended the 205 belt one time.
Yeah.
So that's still, it's not much.
And actually, I think the pound-for-pound thing is a joke, because what's the criteria they put into it? You know, well, what's the criteria? We don't even know the criteria. So because DC has two belts, that automatically make him the pound for pound champ? No, not in my book. I still don't see him being the best heavyweight. Not even the best heavyweight. So
it's just
it's subjective. So then maybe they got like a panel of people. But DC is a company, man. So they would never ever, you know, do anything to disparage him or make him look bad. So it is what it is. I mean, that pound for pound really don't mean nothing, to be honest. But, you know, I'm looking forward to 231. I was looking forward to 230, but man, I don't think my boy Nate gonna fight. I'm hoping they push him to 232, him and Dustin. But yeah, man, it's just I'm looking forward to these next couple of main events, man, and co-main events. I definitely want to see Valentina. I want to see how Joanna looks at 125. They need to get Thug Rose back up and running. I need Tyron Woodley to come out, and I need him to go ahead and dismantle Cubby Covington just because. And, hey, all will be right in the world.
Yeah, I think so. You know, my boy Woodley's going to smash Covington, and he's going to be embarrassed. It's going to be a beautiful sight, and he might not even fight in the UFC after this bad beating that he gets. So, you know, shout-out to Covington. Shout-out to Woodley, the real number one, the real champ of everything. And, you know, that's how we're going to wrap up our show. You know, Lee's got to go do what he's got to do, and we're going to go do what we got to do. And I'm pretty sure we've done about – I think we've done three shows now in the past 7 days. So I'm – pretty happy about that. You know, we've been really, this has been so much, and we've been just jumping on everything. So I like this pace.
Yeah, man.
We gotta do, I like this pace. And, you know, we appreciate everybody for listening, and enjoy the rest of your night. You know, we're going to be over and out. Lee, unless you have last things you
want. Yeah, I wanted to say, I appreciate doing this show tonight, too, man, because I mean, so much news that came out since last night. And, you know, we normally try to, you know, do two shows a week or, you know, at least one show a week. But after all the news started coming out between last night and today, yeah, man, we had to give the people what they want, man. So to everybody, be safe, be positive, have a good day, stay blessed. And I'll shout out to Taylor Swift once again for encouraging your fans to get out and vote. She didn't push her political agenda on them. And, you know, shout-outs to Taylor Swift. I don't appreciate the people saying that because she did her Instagram post that voter registration went up. Voter registration went up because yesterday was the last day to register to vote. That's why it went up, folks. So don't get swayed by the fake news. But once again, shout-out to Taylor Swift. Key signing out for the night. Everybody have a great evening. Be safe and until next time. Peace.
Next time we out.
That's it. Hell up, so. Hell up.